Hey there, I wanted to take a brief moment and welcome you to the Focus Point Podcast. If this is one of the first episodes that you're hearing from us, please head over to our website, thepointoffocus.com, where you can find out some more information about who we are, what we're doing. You can also find other podcast episodes and blog posts there as well. That's thepointoffocus.com. I'm so glad that you decided to give one of our episodes a listen. I really hope that you will be blessed and encouraged through what you hear in this episode. I also encourage you to share this episode with your family and your friends. Once again, I just thank you for taking some time and listening to our episode. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. Well, we are back in our series, I've Got the Joy. This is our seventh episode in that series. We'll be in Philippians chapter 2. So if you have a copy of the Bible and you want to go ahead and open it on up, we'll be in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18 today. A little bit about where we've been. So for Holy Week, we did a series called For the Joy. And in that series, we looked at Philippians 2, 3 through 11. And so if some of the verses are missing, that's why. The last time we were in I've Got the Joy, I Got the Joy series, we were in Philippians 2, 1 through 2. So if that's the reason why, if you're just kind of following the I've Got the Joy series, that's why there's a gap. So my encouragement to you would be to go find the For the Joy series that we did during Holy Week and listen to those three episodes. As this is the 10th overall episode of our study in the book of Philippians. So I'm excited to crack this open. There's a lot in this little bit. And as I've always said, this isn't a deep dive into these books or into these paragraphs or into these sentences or whatever. This is just how I feel God is talking to me with my study and what I believe he wants us to know and what he wants me to share. And so that's where we're going with this. But I think some of this stuff calls back to our previous episodes that we've done in the earlier parts of this series, as well as we're going to see a little bit of a repeat as we're going to talk a little bit about what we discussed during our Holy Week series called For the Joy. Once again, I encourage you to go find that. That's in our archive. And so let's begin by reading verses 12 through 18, and then we will kind of break it down and we will do a little bit of our study here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the result of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Verse 14, "Do everything without complaining or arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I didn't run the race in vain and my work was not useless. But I will rejoice, even though I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just as your faithful service is an offering to God." Offering to God. And I want you to share that joy. I want you to rejoice, and I will share in your joy. So let's unpack it. Let's see what we've got here. Two different things. So we're kind of going to see what Paul is saying in verses 12 through 14. 12 and 13. And then we're kind of going to break down verses 12 through 14 as we kind of see how Paul is kind of showing us how we can have that Christ shine, how we can shine the shine that God wants us to have as we go through our walk and our journey with him. So I'm excited to unpack that. So let's dive in. Verses 12 through 14 go like this. And Paul is calling attention to following instructions. That's first and foremost. He starts off with, you've always followed my instructions when I was there, and now that I'm away, it's even more important. It's kind of like what he's kind of referencing, kind of how we should be with Jesus as well. Like, he wants us to follow God's instructions. And he calls back to that in a little bit in verse 14 or so down there, when he's saying, hold firmly to the word of life. So, that's that. And we should not miss the connection of the obedience that Jesus showed and the obedience Paul expects us, and that Jesus expects us. So, going back to that, that reference is in Paul, Philippians 2:8, where Jesus obeyed to death, right? Jesus obeyed to death all the way to the cross. That is what we talked about on Easter and Good Friday. We talked about this idea that humility leads to elevation. And it was Jesus's obedience, his humbleness, that led to his elevation in verse 9. So as I said, you can go check those episodes out. And that's what the process is that we identified and that Paul is kind of repeating here. It says that Jesus was humble and obedient, and God elevated him. Jesus did not elevate himself. Jesus did not put himself in the place that is described. Now, he is elevated to the place of highest honor. That wasn't done by Jesus himself. God elevated him. And that verse is clear. As a matter of fact, let's check it out here. It says, "Then, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor. Because of verse 8, he humbled himself and was obedient to God." That is how he was elevated to the place of highest honor. And the same is true for us. When we are humble and obedient to Jesus and what Jesus would have us do, he elevates us. We are elevated in that way. We do not elevate ourselves. Jesus does. It's the process. So as followers of Jesus, we are constantly being worked on by God. As verse 13 tells us, that for God is working on you. God is always working on you. It's important for us to know that God is with us as we are doing that, but we are constantly being worked on. Our salvation and then subsequent relationship with Jesus does not automatically mean that we're perfect and capable of always making the right decisions. We don't just snap our fingers and confess our life to Jesus and invite him into our heart and all of that, and all of a sudden we can do no wrong. All of a sudden we're always right and we always can make the right decision. No. We don't just arrive. One of Paul's other letters tells us in Romans that we are being transformed. It says, do not copy the behaviors of the world, but be transformed. That is what we're doing. And transformation isn't just instantaneous either. It takes a process. When a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly, it doesn't just happen. And that's the same kind of thing that we are using here, is that we don't just arrive, that God is still working on us, but we have the power to do what is right and pleasing to God. Because we follow Jesus, because we know what Jesus has for us, we are able to make that choice. But choices are sacred, and we've talked about that a lot, and that's a line from the church that I go to. Our pastor says that often, and our pastors, but choices are sacred, right? That it can either lead us away from God or closer to God, and our choices can either help us lead others to God or away from God. We have talked about that in this series already. We've talked about how we handle conflict, how we handle each other, and how we do that. How we handle not only the other, how we handle other followers of Jesus, but how we handle each other, like how we handle our people that aren't followers of Jesus, right? How we handle people that are in the circle and out of the circle. It all matters. And how we handle each other matters too, to the people that aren't, that are, to the people that are watching, right? And that's what's described here in verses 14 through 18. Adds kind of like another little bit of a layer Paul is adding And this is kind of some of the stuff that you get when you read like a book of the Bible and kind of do a study on it straight through. You kind of see these threads that are going through. And Paul here is now giving, once again, another way to let Christ shine in us. The Christ shine, I'm going to call it. And so how do we let Christ shine in our lives? Well, verses 14 through 18 give us at least two ways to do it. And they're, I would say, broad strokes. And they call back to some of the other things that we did in earlier episodes that I'm going to reference here. But in the earlier episodes of the series, we discussed this as Paul was opening his letter. So the first one is do everything without complaining or arguing. Once again, Paul is bringing this up as how we are conducting ourselves is important. If we're always complaining about having to serve others, or if we're always complaining about having to go to church, or if we're always complaining about what the church did and all this stuff like that, people are going to have that kind of angle on the church. But then it says also arguing. Once again, people are watching us. People are watching the church, and it makes me sad sometimes how you see in the news churches arguing with each other, or churches having inner conflict. And it's like, well, that's not good, is it? I don't know if I want to go there. I go to church, and I know that my church isn't perfect, and I'm pretty sure there's banter that happens and it, all of that stuff. But like I'm talking about, and it's happening more and more where these big churches end up in conflict and all of that, and it's their business becomes public, and it's like, wow, that's a lot there. And once again, we're not criticizing here. We're not judging here. It just happens that their arguments get out and people watch that stuff. People see that stuff. So, five things to go along with this complaining or arguing and what it calls back to. It's relationship over being right. That's kind of what leads to arguing, right? When we meet somebody that maybe be interested in going to church, maybe wants nothing to do with church, and they're making their decisions, and we think they're making the wrong one. So we got to make sure that we always say that. And the church, it's been said in my church from my pastors that a lot of the times the church wants to know what they are for, and by doing that, it's what we're against and not for the people. And in reality, Jesus did it, but he did it carefully. Like he stated what he was against, but he was also for people. And sometimes when we do that, we're just trying to be right. We're trying to get people to see the way that it's supposed to be. We're trying to, if they would just do this way, we're trying to be right. And you see, Jesus, even though he was right, and be careful when I say it, maybe it's controversial. I don't know. I've said a lot of things on here that may or may not be controversial to the people that listen. But Jesus was right, but he wasn't trying to be right when he talked to people. I always call back to the woman at the well. He wasn't trying to be right in his conversation with her. He wanted her. He wasn't trying to be right. He wanted that relationship with her. And so that's vitally important, how we conduct ourselves, how we show that. Are we trying to be right? And then the second thing, letting our love overflow, that Paul introduced in Philippians 1:9. Letting your love overflow, and we talked about that. And then number three is how we love each other. The Gospel of John indicates that one in John 13:34-35. It's we show that we are followers of Jesus by how we love each other. And that falls into number four, how we conduct ourselves, which Paul brought up in Philippians 1:27-30. And that's also number five, how we handle conflict with each other. How we handle our business with each other is vitally important to what people see. If they want conflict and arguing and yelling and screaming and always in turmoil with you, like, sometimes their life is better than that. And so why would they want to be a part of something, right? And Paul is telling the Philippian people and telling us, hey, watch out for that. How we handle this thing is important to whether people will come follow Jesus or not. And if we are trying to shine like Jesus, if we're trying to have that Christ shine go out, but we're doing things that are kind of opposite of what Jesus would do or how Jesus would act, or then it's going to have the opposite effect. Then number two, he says, hold firmly to the word of life. And he says some other things in here. I'm picking out these two things because I believe as I was reading, they jumped off the page at me. And as I said, if you read a little bit more and do a little bit of a deeper study, you'll discover that these two things have bigger, broader things that are that can be looked at. But it says, hold firmly to the word of life, which is the Bible. And I want to call back to Joshua 1:8, where Joshua says to the Israelite people, study this book of instructions. Sorry, I'm trying to find it if you may be hearing tapping on the audio here, but I'm trying to get to this first because I want to read it. And I should have gotten to it earlier. But he's Joshua's assuming leadership, and we talked about this in our series last year, last fall, when we were looking at the journey to the promised land, and we were looking at the first six books of the Old Testament. In the series we called Strong, we looked at this a little bit, so if you want some more detail, you can find that in the archive. But Joshua 1:8 says, study this book of instruction continually. Now, he meant the law, right? He meant the Ten Commandments and what God had done in Exodus and Leviticus and even Numbers and now this and Deuteronomy, because he's talking to this new generation of people. So those books, study the book of instruction. Okay, well, we have a bigger book of instruction because we have the entire Bible now. And then it says, meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. That is a tough verse. Joshua is kind of saying what Paul is saying. Hold to the Bible. Read what it is, and we can't go wrong with that. We may go wrong by what the world says, as I just read in Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behaviors of the world, right? If we hold fast to the word, we're not going to copy those behaviors. So he says, hold firmly to the word of life. And that immediately brought me back to that verse in Joshua that we just read, Joshua 1:8. And we looked at that a little bit last year, as I've already said. It also brought a couple other verses. So three verses here. The first one was Joshua 1:8. The second one is Psalm 119, 111, where it says that I've hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I memorized that when I was young. How do we hide the word in our heart? By studying on it, meditate on it, holding firmly to the word of life. That is how we do that. Why? Because your word is number three, Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, or a light unto my path. So if we're going to have this Christ shine, if we're going to have this particular light that comes out when we're walking with Jesus, when we're trying to follow Jesus, and once again, not perfection, not like we're not being worked on in our own way, like we've already got it all together and we look down on people. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about being that light, that Christ shine that should be about us, that Paul wanted for the Philippians, that Paul wanted for us, that Jesus wants for us. Jesus wanted it for his disciples. He wanted them to stand out by how they loved each other, by how they acted, by how they conducted themselves, how they handled conflict, how they handled complaining and arguing and all of these different things, right? So that is what is important. So we are to fulfill our place as lights in the world. That is what Paul is closing out here, because it says, you know, that's part of the joy that Paul wants us to share in, that Paul wanted the Philippian people to share in. He wants us to share in that joy by being faithful servants to God. And he ends it with, you should rejoice, and I will share in your joy. So when somebody does something for Jesus, and it makes a good impact. We should be joyful in that. We should share in that. Just like if we were to have done it for ourselves. So Paul is saying, I have joy because of the things that I've seen accomplished by the Philippian people, by other churches that he's had, that I've accomplished in my own life. And I want you to share in that joy, but I also share in the joy that you have as you bring people to Jesus. So as that, but then he says, the key verse here that I'm closing with is verse 15, at the end of verse 15, where it says, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. That is what we're talking about here. And so it says, we are to fulfill our place as light in the world. Lights are used to make things evident. Once again, referencing the different people that Paul helped. As he was the light, when he was in prison, we talked about this at the very first episode of the series, when he was in jail in Philippi, and he led the jailer to Jesus because he was shining in a dark place, right? He was singing to God. He was making his relationship with Jesus more evident, and he was shining light on that, and the jailer wanted to know more about it. Same thing with the possessed girl that was fortune-telling for her owners and all of that, and also Lydia, that saw Paul was different. Lights are used as a guide. That's what we've talked about, holding firmly to the word of life. It's, if it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, if it's guiding us, right? We're going to talk about light at the end of the year, too, when we get into the Gospel of John. Lights are used as warning. That's important. Once again, lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's going to tell us things. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that the Bible is God-breathed and it's useful. Sorry, 3:16 and 17. That it's the Bible is God-breathed and it's useful to train us, to teach us, to correct us, to, well, other thing you want to put in there. That's what the Bible's for. And it does that word by word, verse by verse, line by line, paragraph by paragraph, chapter by chapter, and entire book by book. Lights are used to bring cheer. We can bring cheer into places that are dark. I mean, Jesus did. That woman at the well, and I know I keep referencing, it's heavy on my heart, that story. Because she was in kind of a dark place. She's been getting picked on, criticized, ridiculed, or whatever you want to say. She was going to the well by herself for a reason. And Jesus just brought light to her. Brought cheer to her. And Paul knew that lights were in a bad... That Paul knew that the lights were in a bad place. Instead of executing the light, instead of excusing the light for not shining, Paul wanted their position to be made that all the more important they shine. Being in a dark place is even greater incentive to shine. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew he came down here to this messed up, jacked up world, but he knew that that's where he was supposed to shine his light. And that's what the light that we have, that's the light that we're supposed to shine. When God established Israel as a nation, he wanted them to be set apart. That's what the entire book of Leviticus is about. Setting them apart, giving them their rules that were opposite or different than the rules that were followed by other nations that were around them. Paul knew that the lights were in a bad place. Instead of excusing the lights for not shining, Paul knew that their position made it all the more important that they shine. Just in case I stammered over that a little bit earlier. That it's important for us to shine. That little song that we used to sing. This little light of mine, right? I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine, right? We sung that as a kid. It's all important. So, do everything without complaining and arguing. Basically, it goes back to how we conduct ourselves is important. What we do, what we say, how we act, all of that stuff is important. And then holding firmly to the Bible. Getting into the Bible. Well, how do we know what Jesus would do? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's how we would know what Jesus would do. If you want to know what God has for us, read some of the Old Testament stuff. That stuff can be scary, I know, and it's hard to get through, and but it's important. That's why we did it last year. That's the initial part. If you want some help with it, go to the Journey to the Promised Land series that we did on this podcast last year, and you can listen to all those episodes, 40 to 50 episodes that we did in that series. And so I'm excited to continue on this journey, but I'm excited for what God has for us, that we have this Christ shine about us. And if we are doing it right, to mince any words, to call it what it is, right? If we are doing our best with what we have, and we are showing people by how we treat each other and how we love each other and all of that, and we're projecting that to the world, we're showing that, we're lighting that up for the rest of everybody to see, that's how we get Jesus to be more important to them. That's what Paul is encouraging here. When Jesus went to that woman at the well, he was not going there to give her a Bible and to beat her over the head with all these Bible verses about how her life was wrong and all of that. And Paul didn't do that with the people that he was talking to in Acts 16 when the church of Philippi was started. Lydia and the demon-possessed girl and the jailer. He didn't sit there and be like, well, you know what? If you would just do all of these things and do all of this and blah, 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 and this is what the Bible says and how come? This is what Jesus did. He didn't do any of that. He just went to their house, and it says that their household became followers of Jesus. So important that we catch that. The woman at the well, Jesus just simply came, had a conversation with her. He called her out on what she did, right? He's indicated that her lifestyle wasn't exactly right, but he did it in a way that wasn't, well, this is what the scroll says. Open it up. Look and see. This is like, you're not doing things right. Get it together. He didn't do that. And because of the way he did it, because of how he approached, because he wanted that relationship over being right, he was able to lead her to Jesus. And she brought people back with her. So important. Our Christ shine is so important. So that's my encouragement this week. Dive into a little bit more. Check out some of the other episodes. Go back and listen to some of the other episodes. Think about how we conduct ourselves is important. Think about that this week. When we go and you get ready to yell at the checker at Walmart, the cashier at Walmart because he's going too slow. Or when we think about, you know, speeding around somebody because they're driving too slow and we got that church sticker on our bumper. It's important how we represent Jesus and how we show him. Is our light shining for Jesus? Are we able to help people? That's my challenge for myself. Like, when I interact with people, are we more worried about getting their lifestyle right and trying to get them to be on the right? Or are we trying to get them into the way of Jesus, into the flock, into the fold, if you will, into the shepherd's pen, whatever you want to call it? I don't care. Are we trying to get them into a relationship with Jesus and then let Jesus work with them? Oftentimes, and I think this is Paul's warning too, oftentimes we try and do Jesus's job for him. Well, you got to like tidy it up and you got to make sure that you're not doing this and you got to put that cigarette out before you touch church property and you have to do this, that, and the other thing and you shouldn't be wearing that shirt to church. Like, No, Jesus didn't care. Jesus wants the relationship. Then everything else sorts it out. So that's my challenge. My challenge is that we will kind of look once again how we conduct ourselves and that we'll get into the Word. Hold firmly to the Word. Study the book of instruction so that we can do better at this. Because I would consider our book of instruction would be seeing what Jesus did. I'm not canceling the rest of the Bible, not saying the Old Testament is for the birds. There's lots of good stuff in the Old Testament. What I'm saying is our book of instruction to translate what Joshua was saying to the Israelite people in Joshua 1:8, what Paul is saying here, hold firmly to the word, is the Gospels, because that's what he had. He had the other parts, but I think he was focusing on what Jesus did. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus handle these things? And that, I think, will help us extremely as we continue to try and shine for Jesus, as we continue to let that Christ shine show. Well, I hope to see you next week. I hope you found some encouragement in this. I know I have. I found a lot of encouragement over the 10 weeks of this series that we've been in. So I'm excited to continue it next week and hope to see you there.